Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America, hour number two, now past midnight. And I'm watching ABC. Why? Because every Sunday night, them yo people, come on. I was talking to Drex about this. He's got an interesting personality up in Vancouver that does some unbelievable interviews. His name's Nardwar, and he's become pretty popular among certain circles when there's a performer or a comedian that's up in Vancouver or Calgary, somewhere in Canada. He normally travels and will do some pretty strange interviews. And when I say strange, it's like he hacks their identity and finds things that no one else would know. It's really, he goes so deep into these interviews, it would make me scary. I'd never want him to do that to me. It'd feel like someone was hacking my identity. And I said, okay, you got to find out about Mr. Gary. He's our guy here in St. Louis that does the most unique interviews. And I'm hoping that we perhaps get a chance to talk about it tonight. We might not. I think we're going to talk mostly about chicken sandwiches in the United States and Canada and the difference between the two. So we'll do that at 12:30. Our friend Drex, hook up with him. Fox 2 did a story on the Regional Sports Authority and what's going to happen at the Dome in 2020, the former home of the Rams. The XFL is going to be picking up in it, too. But it's, you know, it's your money, man. And Fox 2 does a great job with Elliot Davis.
St. Louis was left with a big financial hole when the Rams bailed. Since then, the Dome has had conventions and concerts. Jim Shrewsbury is head of the St. Louis Regional Sports Authority that owns the building.
How much did we lose when the Rams left?
Well, it hurt the city substantially. We lost a lot of tax dollars. We lost a lot of sales tax dollars. A lot of people lost their jobs. It hurt.
Is XFL football going to help the Dome in a big way?
It's going to help the Dome. It remains to be seen whether it's going to help in a big way.
That's an optimistic way to look at it, sure. Now, the XFL is kind of unproven. You know, it's the start of the league. And think about it, the football league that was started to be the predecessor, the ones that rushed to the scene to be the first one on, they folded before the season even ended. And there was really no conclusion. It's just one day they were playing, and the next day, boom, no one was getting paid, and it's over. And they had a lot of high-profile people and financiers behind that. XFL's, I think, going to be different mostly because of the association with the group and an organization that's making some big bucks. The WWE is very popular. They've tried it before. I think they have the streaming infrastructure, and they also have the broadcast rights, so it'll be on TV. That's going to be a huge, huge deal. So, XFL, how much are they going to make? And I think he'll answer that question here. But let me ask this. How much money should we spend on the Dome? Because they're making this argument that we have to spend some money to renovate it. It's behind the times. And think about this, too. At Enterprise Center, how long did it take for them to get the necessary upgrades in order to get that thing up and going with the new sound system and the paint and all the other things they did to it to help the experience of the fans that were coming in? For a while there, they were begging, hey, NHL, give us an all-star game. Give us something. It took a while, and they spent a lot of money doing it, and it took, you know, a lot of arguing in order to get what was necessary for that arena. Now when you look at the Dome, you don't have a team, like a professional team. And I guess the XFL technically is a professional team, but it's unproven. And it's not like it would be one of your major teams, okay? You have other conferences that are coming into the area and into that Dome, and they're using it. But then again, how much money is coming in for that? Is it really necessary for them to do a full renovation when there's no sports team playing there? And that's the big question, because we still owe a lot of money on that Dome. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. We're talking about upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars would be needed. How do we do that?
Hopefully it will take off.
XFL will pay $500,000 to play five games at the Dome.
The people running the Dome says they're doing a good job keeping
this dome competitive. They say they've got events scheduled out for more than 5 years, but there's a problem.
It needs to be upgraded and improved. Now, whether that comes to an actual teardown and rebuilding.
Oh, boy, that should scare you. That should really scare you. A teardown and rebuilding. I hear the Psycho theme song in the background. No, no, no. There should be some major alarms going off. Tear down? No, 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 no. Even if, let's say, the long shot of all those NFL rumors, what if the Chargers come to St. Louis? Because this comes up over the past year frequently. And as the lawsuit with the NFL and the Rams continue between the city and what could be disclosed, and they said, maybe they could make this all go away if we get an NFL team back. But in order to do that, we'd have to build a new arena. I don't think so, man. We'd come out as a loser there. How much money does it cost to build a new arena? We're talking, $500 million to $1 billion. Look at what they took down in Texas. Plus, price of everything's going up. Price of everything's expensive. No thanks. I don't know how you can justify that. And you know what's interesting, too, about all of this? They mentioned that they have events booked all the way for the next 5 years. They have events booked for the next 5 years? It doesn't sound like they're having a hard time getting people to occupy the convention center and the dome. It sounds like they got it going. They're managing. I think you got to work with what you got for a while. Sure, you could do some upgrades as necessary, but do you do the full kit and caboodle? No, don't do that. That scares me.
Those are decisions the three sponsors have to make. And the truth of the matter is the mayor, the county executive, and the governor need to step up to the plate and do something about this.
The city, county, and state came together years back to pay the bonds that built the dome in the first place. The city kicks in $6 million a year, the county $6 million, and the state of Missouri $12 million. You still owe $144 million.
Oh.
Now the city...
You still owe $144 million on the dome. Oh, boy. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?
Now the city, county, and state may have to again combine resources to renovate the dome. A harder prospect since it doesn't have an NFL team. The renovation could cost upwards of $300 million.
All right, so if we renovate this thing, $300 million... Do you believe that the prospect of putting $300 million in the dome in St. Louis will yield its worth? Do you think that if you build it up again, people will just start coming? Do you think we'll get better conventions? Do you think we'll get better opportunities? Do you think more teams would want to play there? Do you think we'd attract more to make up for that $300 million? Oh, boy, I don't know. That's a hefty price tag. So $300 million, let's just say, plus the $144 we owe, you're talking about $444 million. You're closing in on $500 million. Let's be honest, even if you were to spend a full $300 million, how often are they on target with how much they say? So that $300 million could very well be $350 million, and all of a sudden, you're $500 million in the hole for something that doesn't have a professional team playing at it. Now, you could put all your eggs in the XFL basket, but that's a huge risk. Huge, huge risk. I think it'll be success. It's not going to be that successful. It's not going to be as successful as the NFL, because no other league is as successful. So, yikes. This should be very concerning to most people, anyone listening right now. Here's the number, 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. What do you think? Put $300 million into this thing? It's Overnight America, KMOX. So talking about this Fox 2 story that Elliot Davis put together, one of his You Paid For It segments. I love them. I love the You Paid For It. So this is a few days old, but... they're looking at what they can do, what they can afford. Can they really afford anything if they're $144 million in the hole and there's no NFL team playing there right now? Can they really afford it? And if they're paying $6 million a year, at least the city of St. Louis is, the county's paying $6 million, and the state's paying $12 million, and that's their payment yearly. And even the team that's going to be playing there, the XFL team, is only generating $500,000 of that $6 million. That's a lot to make up for it. Now, the NFL... That was a big revenue generator.
So you're saying that the people now are not doing enough That would be Crewson, Parson, and Page.
I think they have to start doing more.
That sounds like a law firm, doesn't it?
That would be Crewson, Parson, and Page.
Oh, it's like one of those late-night infomercials.
Crewson, Parson, and Page.
Crewson, Parson, and Page. Make sure to give Crewson, Parson, and Page a call for your next injury.
I think they have to start doing more. They have to get connected to this. Because if they don't, we're going to start losing convention business.
Is there a danger that...
There is a real concern about that. As these conventions grow, and let's say the conventions are successful and they have a need to fill in the city of St. Louis at the convention center, and the Dome can't fill it because they just logistically can't keep up with what's necessary, some of the maintenance or some of the expansion of the sites, that's a very big concern. So what you could be doing is continuing to grow your revenue through the different conventions that are coming in, or you would lose the big ones and hope that you can fill it with one that's smaller. So you're basically putting a ceiling in place when it comes to revenue in the conventions, which could also be very scary, which is a pretty solid point of why you need to renovate this. But you got to do it hand in hand. At the same time, can you really afford it? Would it pay off $300 million?
Is there a danger that ultimately the Dome could end up being torn down?
I doubt very highly they're going to tear it down and do something else with it. It is a good facility. It simply needs to be upgraded. It's like anything else.
Like anything else needs to be upgraded. So that's from Fox 2. I thought they did a great job with that. And Elliot Davis is always good. Talking to James Shrewsbury with the Regional Sports Authority, the RSA. You know what else I found online? I have one of these rings, so I monitor what goes on at my house. If there's an alert that's going on, I like to see while I'm sitting here at the studio just to make sure everything's all safe at home. You know, you got me all thinking about it right now, so I'm going to pop up and look at it. Okay. And it's funny. I always look, okay, is there a cat that's going to walk by? Yep. There's this one cat that keeps walking by the house, and I'm like, come on now. I think they're just starting to make it as part of their trail. But they can catch other things, too. In Los Angeles, KTLA had a listener or a viewer of their television station put some camera footage together of a distressed woman, and this is very stressful, very stressful. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to play this for you. It's the Ring doorbell that is caught, and so since you can't really see it unless you go to the KTLA website, it happened 11 p.m. local time on Tuesday, a possible kidnapping. There's a woman on the front porch of her house, and there's a lot of screaming, and there's a lot of attention going on in that neighborhood, and they're very confused. They don't know what's going on. And you can hear some screaming of a woman in a car driving away. At that point, there's a man that gets out the front door. Apparently, he was, I don't know, getting dressed or putting his keys or whatever together. He hops in his car to go follow pursuit. Now, the woman is unidentified, and you can hear the pleas for help for about 30 seconds, desperate pleas for help. And the people that are able to see this don't know what to do. They're kind of like shocked. Do I intervene? Do I go out there? Do I not? I want you to listen to this. It's very stressful, so I'll give you a little warning there. She's down the block now at that point. So this is where the guy's getting out of the house. He checked his pocket. I think he made sure his phone was in there, keys in the other, and he hops in his car and he goes to try to chase after. But by the point, he gets to the end of the driveway and then down the road, someone's already screaming, oh, he turned right. Doesn't sound like he was able to catch up or be able to follow properly. And no one really knew what to do in a situation like that. And think about that, even at your own house, this is why it's important to know your neighbors. If you hear someone screaming and you know who it is, it makes it a whole lot easier to get out there and intervene, because then you'll know the players involved. You'll know that if the reason the neighbor's screaming is because, well, is there something going on with the husband? Do you know who that person is? Is it a stranger? Is it someone that looks like they're going to do harm? And if you know who the people are and you go out there and they see you and you can help, you may have just saved a life. Oh, man, what a scary, scary, scary thing to have on camera. Here it is one more time. Listen to that. You can hear the guy yelling, I'm sorry. Someone yelling, I'm sorry. So detectives are still looking in the neighborhood. They're hoping to uncover some clues. That video is a help. At least they have a description on the car. A lot of times those doorbell cameras, they're not clear enough to pick up a license plate that far away, but at least you can get a description and an idea. Witnesses told KTLA that in addition to the women's screams, they can hear the I'm sorry. Whew, scary. Not something you're going to want to have to relive in your mind over and over again. Hopefully they find her and hopefully she's safe. Our friend Drex, we're going to hook up with the late shift. It's been a couple weeks. I am so looking forward to talking to him about chicken sandwiches. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Can't believe we're here already.
Live with us now, Ryan Recco. Welcome back.
Hello, Drex. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's Sunday night. I'm feeling okay. We're actually getting some pretty nice temperatures this week, so that feels pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, well, you got a massive Arctic blast last week, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks for that. But it went through. Yeah, we did okay. I mean, it was icy. There were some pretty bad days on the road. People getting stuck for hours. And it was the same night as the meteor that came through here. Did you see video of that?
Oh, I did. I saw it all over the television, man. That was crazy. So much awesome footage of it.
Oh, it was great. There was a lot of people catching it either on their little doorbell cameras or there was one camera that's always fixed at the arch and that caught it. And that was a great view of it.
Do you have one of those doorbell cameras?
Yeah, I was just talking about that. I do have one. I really think they're great. And yeah. I catch interesting things. Like I've had a couple of deer walk through the front lawn.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I catch cats that, I don't know if they're just making as part of the trail now. It seems like there's stray cats that go through our front porch. I just caught something what looked like a squirrel. I hope it was a squirrel, but
probably a squirrel.
Yeah,
maybe
you catch
a giant rat.
I hope it's not. If it was a giant rat, it's a big one.
Bobby has one of those doorbell cameras on the front of his place. All he catches is his crazy next door neighbors doing strange things at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's weird. I catch a lot of car lights and things. Sometimes it triggers it, but I've never caught the neighbors doing something strange.
Well, that's good then, isn't it? Because you don't want strange neighbors. Because if there's strange neighbors, there has to be a discussion at some stage.
I would hope so. I have some pretty nice neighbors. In fact, I would put them as quality neighbors. And we look out for each other, so I'm happy for that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But are they going to remain quality neighbors if you happen to be in a drive-thru at a Popeyes?
I would hope so. They're still nuts out here. Anywhere you go, you can't even go to Popeyes anymore. Just the lines are insane.
So I've never told you about this or your listeners, but we have a segment we do on our show here in Canada. Can I tell you what it's called?
Sure.
It's called Living in America. and this is the theme. Just a split second of James Brown, and then I launch into usually a bizarre story that I've seen coming out of the States. Look, Missouri and St. Louis, you're good. It's usually Florida where everything goes down, right?
I know. Florida seems to be the thing that everyone focuses on, and there's a reason for that. I think we've talked about this before. There's a reason why Florida seems to be the attention of all the crazy news. It's because their laws are more relaxed when it comes to what's reported.
Yeah, and you can get information about why someone was arrested. You can get the mugshot as well. But seriously, I, on Thursday night, we did a story about the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And just in 5 minutes of searching, I got a couple of audio clips here. This is how crazy things are getting.
What a sandwich.
What a sandwich!
That's just us talking about how great chicken sandwiches are. But first, have a listen to this.
Fist fights, car crashes, even a murder.
Oh. Yeah, this is going to sound pretty ridiculous, but all of that is over a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's just one story I found. And then, I found this one out of Nashville.
This was a mall in Nashville. Man repeatedly punches a woman after an argument while the two were in line. Now, witnesses say she did shove that man first. This was just the latest in a string of violent incidents at Popeye's locations since the re-release of their spicy chicken sandwich.
Why can't we all just get along and eat chicken sandwiches in peace, Ryan? Yeah, what do you think it is?
That reminds me of Black Friday shopping back in the day when people just bum rush the opening doors in the morning and they'd all try to run to whatever that cheap deal is. And they would all elbow and fight each other for whatever that $10 discount is on that TV compared to what you can order it online anymore. And
that's
people
so silly.
Act that way. Yeah, it's something about the scarcity of it and them having some sort of competition in order to get it. It's not good. It's not a good sight to see something like that happen.
Now, we know that that Popeyes does, you know, scarcity marketing by saying, oh, we've only got a limited number of these. And we all know that it's scarcity marketing. How come there's no accountability here, do you think, on the company?
I don't know. You know, no one goes crazy over the McRib anymore like that. Like, you don't see people trying to punch someone else for a McRib. And they're kind of scarce, right? They're only around every, a certain amount of time. I think it's just that, in general, people are curious. They want to try it. But Burger King, not that long ago, did the Impossible Whopper, where it's, you know, the meat substitute. Mm. And people went crazy for that, but somehow Burger King survived, and they got a burger for everyone, and they didn't seem to have all these problems. I don't know what it is. It's Popeyes in general. Maybe it's just slower to fry chicken as opposed to a burger, and maybe it just takes too long, and the lines get too long. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Ryan. In my search for videos about the cray-cray that surrounds Popeyes, I found this from 10 years ago.
Customers at the drive-thru heard this recorded message.
Sorry for the inconvenience, but we are all out of chicken and we are closed for the rest of the day. Thank you and have a blessed day.
One woman yelled back at the machine.
People have kids and they're trying to feed for the special. And you mean to tell me that we can't feed our kids?
Well, it's a bit dramatic. I'm sure there's other restaurants you can go to that have food that is okay for children. But anyway, now listen, we were talking about fried chicken because we got this chain here in Canada called Mary Brown's Chicken and Taters. And they got this burger called the Big Mary, which I had a couple over the weekend. They're delicious. But I had a listener, Rob, just text us and say the best fried chicken in St. Louis is at a place called Sweetie Pies.
Oh, interesting. I've never actually been there.
Now, do you know of the chain, though?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I thought maybe you would know. But all right, let me, because I know that you guys are big into White Castle and toasted ravioli and the such. But where do St. Louis folk get their fried chicken from? What is the place that everyone talks about?
Oh, you know, we got a lot of barbecue here. I mean, people are really big into barbecue. I wouldn't say this is a giant fried chicken market outside of the major chains. I mean, there's other like local fried chicken in places here, but I gotta say, I think most people just go to the chains,
right? The chains, but it's all about barbecue there, right?
Barbecue's big here. There's so many great barbecue places. It's one of those places that you think of, like barbecue, you think down south, you think of Memphis, you think of Kansas City, you think of all these other, no, St. Louis has got it going on when it comes to barbecue. They don't get enough respect for it.
Have you got people, your signal reaches Kansas City, right?
Oh, yes.
So what when you say, hey, St. Louis has got better barbecue than the Kansas City, do you get phone calls from people going, well, hang on a second, slow your roll, Chester?
You know, I've never tried to start beef with them that way, pun intended,
not a good
I guess.
Idea.
But I think that if you were to compare side by side, I would put St. Louis ahead. Now, they're different styles, certainly.
Oh, okay. Well, explain the different styles then.
I think it has to do with the sauce. So I don't know how, because Kansas City's got their own sauce style. St. Louis is a little bit different, I believe. But they got there's a place called Poppy's here that's always recognized as some of the best ribs, if not the best ribs in the country. And we got Sugar Fire that's very inventive. I mean, they go out there and they try to push the limits of barbecue in the sense that they put these monster sandwiches and different dishes together that are just really nice.
Mm. What are the lineups like on those barbecue places?
Pappy's is always out the door, so it's a pretty big lineup. I've gone there when I've been out the door. It might take 40 minutes to get a table, while you're waiting through in line.
Uh-huh.
So that takes a little bit long. And then some of the other places, it just depends on the type of day. Now, there is a little secret that I've learned in St. Louis, and I'm afraid to say it on the air because then it won't be a secret anymore. But you know what? I might do it for you. You know, and it's probably true out there, too. We have family from out of town come in, and we try to go to different places so they can get a taste of what's going on in St. Louis. I found that when they come in for Christmas, on Christmas Eve, you can go anywhere you want, and there's not a line. People don't go out to eat on Christmas Eve. So
I love going out for a meal on Christmas Eve.
Oh, it's awesome. So I went to Pappy's, got right in, sat right down, no problems. So places that are normally out the door, go on Christmas Eve. If they're open, that's your chance to feel like a VIP.
Have you ever wanted barbecue so badly from some of these places that you got up and were there for opening of their door?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever really craved it that bad. I'm okay. I'm not too particular, so I don't feel like I'm the type of guy that would sit out all night because I just want to be the first at something. You know, I can normally wait. Are you?
And plus, no, I don't line up for anything, man. If I show up to a diner and it's like, oh, it's a 30-minute wait, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else.
I know, I'm the same way. It depends on how late it is. But the same thing, it depends on what it is. If it's really, really good. There's a couple of great sandwich shops out here, too. You got me hungry now. I want to go drive through somewhere. There's this White Castle downtown here that's open 24-7. Maybe I'm going to, at the end of the show, have to drive through there.
Aren't you done in like 20 or so minutes?
No, I'm done in an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. Just go get a box of hamburgers for yourself, man. That's what you need to do.
White Castle's is great. From what I understand, they're not in Canada.
No, they're not. I've never actually had White Castle. Last time I was in Vegas, I saw one there, and I was like, oh, should I go in and try it? I didn't know what to get. I think you need to get a diehard White Castle fan to go with you the first time to tell you what you need to order.
It's all the same thing. They're basically little mini burgers. Yeah, mini burgers, mini cheeseburgers. It's all the same. Yeah,
and look, really good. I know that they opened up a couple of stores. I think it was in Shanghai in China in the last couple of years. And I saw a video today of people getting like just a White Castle combo with just the tiny but one tiny burger. I'm like, well, I think you're meant to have them by the box. So when you buy them by the box, what numbers do you get them in the box? You know how we get nuggets, there might be 10 or 20.
Oh yeah.
With the hamburgers, how many do you get?
Well, you can get, I think the number one's four. It comes with four hamburgers, which is a pretty good amount. It depends on how hungry you are, but I will tell you this too. Next time you go grocery shopping, check your freezer section, because they might actually have some burgers in there that you can microwave up, and they taste really good. And
I know they have the frozen ones in Canada for sure.
Yeah, give that a try. Yeah, that's a really, I mean, it's not exactly the same restaurant experience, but you get the taste. It's very good.
What do you do? Just put them frozen in the oven or something?
Microwave them, yeah. So they come in packs of two. You kind of break them apart so, you know, they're not touching. You open up one side of the bag, you microwave it for 60 seconds, and it's good to go.
I'm going to have to get a microwave now. I've never owned one.
What?
No, I've never owned a microwave.
Wow, why not?
I don't know. Just don't need one.
That's a weird thing not to own.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's really strange.
Oh, I'm 40 and I've never owned a microwave in my entire life. There was one at the house when I was a kid, but I've never had one.
That's so surprising to me. You think that's a standard in everyone's kitchen? Wow.
Yeah, I struggle to use the ones at work. I don't know how they work. I have to concentrate and look at the pad and go, oh, okay, that's how that works.
So are you afraid of the microwave?
Oh, no, I've never bothered to get one because the houses I've always lived in have never had space for a microwave in the kitchen.
But they're so convenient.
They are?
Oh, horribly convenient. They're awesome. There's so much you can do with it.
Oh, I just, like, if I need to reheat something, I just use, I steam it on the stovetop or I stick it in the oven.
You can do that with the little White Castles, too. But the microwave is the way to go with everything. I just can't believe a guy can survive without a microwave. I thought that was like standard issue.
I'm sure there's other people that have never had a microwave.
I would say that you are maybe part of the 1% that have never had a microwave.
The 1% of the 1%?
Yeah, I think think there's maybe 1% of people listening right now that do not have a microwave.
I wonder what the numbers are on that. I think we need to do an unofficial survey.
Yeah. Do a survey.
Who doesn't own a microwave?
Honestly, yeah, because I think most of anyone, the first thing you get when you move out is a microwave. That's like the very first thing.
Oh, it is. Right. Okay. Like when you hit like 18 or 19, you're like, I'm done with you, mom and dad. I'm going to get out and I'm going to take control of my own life. It's like, I'm going to get a microwave first, though.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine life without it. I feel like we use it about every day. Here's another thing.
I've learned something tonight.
Here's something that people do differently, too, that I found is controversial. Where do you keep your butter?
Oh, okay. So if it's butter that is for cooking, I keep it in the fridge. But if it's butter for my toast, and I love toast, I keep it out. But if it's hot, I put it in the if it's summer, I put it in the pantry because it's always 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the pantry.
Right. We keep it on the countertop, but we go through a lot of butter at the house, through cooking or whatever. And people are always shocked when they learn that you can keep butter on the countertop, but it's so much easier to spread when you got it out the fridge.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You just got to be careful during the summer months too, because if you leave it out for too long, and if you go through, say, half a block of butter a week, that's fine. If you leave it for more than 3 or 4 weeks and it's just kind of sitting there, it's probably going to go rancid, right? Butter does go off. But yeah, I think it's fine to leave it out on the counter. Yeah. Some people get shocked by that, really.
Yeah, I feel you're good for 1 week on that, and we go through easily a stick a week. But where do you keep your eggs?
I keep them in the fridge.
Okay. From what I understand, there's some countries that keep them out of the fridge.
Yeah, I think in Australia you can keep them on the outside. They do something with them. I don't know what it is. I don't know a lot about egg production, but I keep them in the fridge for sure.
Wait, so they treat the egg separately so you don't have to put it in the fridge?
I think so. I don't know.
That's weird.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I wish I had some time to do some research on egg skills in Australia. But yeah, I've always put them in the fridge here. Yeah.
Proper etiquette. What about your work fridge? Is it just a complete disaster zone?
No, I don't even go there. I open that thing and I just get punched in the face with all types of weird odors.
Oh, it's every radio station then. It's not just us.
It's every radio station. You know, around these parts, because we work in a building where there's three other radio stations, it's the people at the traffic station that are the pigs. They don't know how to wash their own plates. They don't know how to wash their own mugs. They just leave them on the counter for everybody else to. But, you know, there's always that one person in the office that puts up passive-aggressive notes. Oh, your mom doesn't work here. We just laugh at those because and when I see notes like that, I'm like, oh, they must be new around here, right? Yeah, your mom doesn't work here.
We get those all the time. Oh man. And I don't know what they keep in the fridge that smells so terrible, but anytime you open it up you think, I can't even put anything in here. Why? It'll contaminate just by the smell alone.
Do you know who the passive-aggressive note poster is in your building?
Yeah, so we have someone here, and God bless his soul. What he does at night, and he may be listening right now, he's the one that cleans all up everyone else's messy stuff that they leave in the sink. So he's like an angel on earth doing all of that stuff. But he caught a note one time, and ever since then, management, like the upper management, the people that I guess kind of look over the facilities, have been leaving notes on his behalf because it happens so often. Yeah.
Oh, what? That's crazy. Yeah, so, look, I always laugh when I see the passive-aggressive notes. I'm like, okay, very good. What's the one going to be next week? Because they always find some interesting meme on the internet to post on the outside of the kitchen, right?
Yeah, I'm at the point where I just throw it away. Like, if I find something in there that's expired, just toss it on their behalf. It's so terrible. And I don't get that, too. We even have a dishwasher. So all they have to do is put it in the dishwasher that's right next to the sink.
If any of the presenters here leave plates in the studio, I throw them in the garbage can.
Good. I think I'm going to start doing the same thing too.
I'm talking about porcelain plates. Like you're going to leave it in the studio in the garbage can. It goes.
Just like that. Do you have communal porcelain plates, or is it people bringing them from home?
Communal. Yeah, you want to rinse them in boiling hot water first.
I know. I'm the same way. So I'm not necessarily OCD, but we do have cups and plates and mugs and things that are people, you know, and apparently they put them in the dishwasher and they clean and they're good and whatever. I don't trust that system. Totally remove myself from that system. I hand wash my own stuff that I keep away from everyone else. And then I just use my own things because I do not trust using the stuff that's up there.
Ryan Recker, like me, knows that in radio stations, it is populated by people who are very nice on the outside, but very, very, very gross people when it comes to dealing with their plates. Ryan, I got to love you and leave you. Can we chat again next week?
Let's do it, Drex. So glad we got to do this.
Thanks, Ryan. Good to chat.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Ryan.
Oh, how cool is that? You know, radio is universal. Here in the United States, here in Canada. What did you say? Very nice on the outside. Gross on the inside. Yes, I totally agree. I've complained about that before. You know, we were talking about some food things. Anyone want to educate me who has better barbecue, St. Louis or Kansas City? 314-436-7900. Or better yet, if you want to text in or maybe call in, is there anyone that doesn't own a microwave? That to me is a shock and a half. I thought 100% of all residents have microwaves. And the only reason you don't have one is because it's broken and you haven't replaced it. That's, to me, a shock. I'd love to find someone that doesn't have a microwave. And why don't you have one? It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm going to take some of your calls here, and I'm glad that you are up with us tonight on Overnight America. Kathy calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just had a quick, not about the barbecue question. I had an answer to the egg question.
Oh, okay.
I have a few chickens in the backyard, share them with our neighbors. And when the hen lays the eggs, if you leave the eggs unwashed, you can keep them at room temperature. If you see it over in European markets, open air markets, they'll have eggs out there and they're not refrigerated. It's because they haven't been washed. The hen excretes a substance called the bloom that protects the egg from spoilage.
Really?
If you wash the egg, which most of us do, you wash the egg, you do need to refrigerate it. So,
huh. Huh. So that's when you go to open air in Europe, it's been right out of the back end of a chicken.
Yes, it is. And it's beautiful. I mean, when they're clean, unless hens tend to mess with the eggs. They mess with each other's eggs, and they'll get in there and turn them, and they'll get mud on them. And, you know, they can sometimes they'll even break each other's eggs. They're not the best animals in that respect. But as long as, you know, when it comes out of the chicken, it is nice and actually usually very, very pretty and clean.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the explanation, Kathy. Good to
hear
from you.
Isn't that interesting? Okay.
Sorry, bye. So they don't wash it out there. It doesn't surprise me the Europeans would be unwashed. Chris calling in from St. Louis. Hi.
Hi, Ryan. Hey, listen, I just wanted, you know, you guys were talking about fried chicken, mm-hmm. and I just didn't want you to forget about Hodak's if you've never tried it.
Have not. So where's that at?
It's at Gravois and McNair in the city.
Is it? How good is it?
Well, you either love, love, love it, or you just... it's okay.
It's got 3,000 reviews, and it's 4.5 out of 5 stars, so that's really good. Is it like a broasted? Is that what that is?
No, it's deep fried, I believe.
Deep fried. I'm looking at some pictures online. It doesn't look crunchy. Like, it looks like it's kind of like a light breading. I love chicken wings, too. There's some pretty good chicken wing places. Hodak's has been St. Louis fried chicken. Here's some Sauce Magazine go-to since 1962. All right, I would tear that right up. It looks delicious.
You should try it, and I'd be curious to know what you think of it.
Oh, you would. You want a full review? Okay,
I do.
It looks really cool inside too. I might have to take some friends there when they come into town. This may be the place we go to. All right, thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Oh, we're getting close here. You know, Terry, I'm going to bring you up real quick. If you could hold on till after the news, we can talk a little bit more about barbecue. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, let me put you on hold here. Because Terry says, I can read what it says up in the call screener. Terry says, we're not in the same league as Kansas City for barbecue. Oh, boy, I can't wait to hear Terry's breakdown of St. Louis versus Kansas City barbecue, because we have some good barbecue here. We just don't get the respect it deserves. 436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Terry's going to tell me why Kansas City's better with barbecue next on Overnight America KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.